Welcome to another edition of the Swarmcast on 24/7 Sports, your Iowa Hawkeyes podcast. Sean Bach, Dylan Byrne here. A little bit of different podcast today. We're not going to talk any recruiting, not going to talk any team stuff. We actually got the opportunity to sit down and talk with Maurice Goodson, the father of Iowa running back Tyler Goodson, for about a good, I would say, oh, I did not mean that pun at all there, but for about 40 to 45 minutes or so. Dylan, what you kind of take away from that conversation? Really good one, too.
Yeah, just a lot of good stuff. Gives insight into Tyler's recruitment and, just his first year at Iowa, what they've been doing in the offseason. And, yeah, it was actually really insightful and really entertaining. So I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
Yeah, he pronounces Dave's last name wrong, probably on purpose. And just, yeah, a lot of really interesting stuff. Gives some behind the scenes of Tyler's recruitment, kind of when he knew he wanted to come to Iowa, and then talked about freshman year a little bit too, kind of the adjustment period that he had to Iowa City and his relationship with Derek Foster, and a lot of good stuff. I think you guys will really appreciate it. So without further ado, let's get into it. As promised, we have the man, the myth, the legend, Maurice Goodson, the father of Iowa running back Tyler Goodson. Mo, how we doing out here today?
Man, we're feeling great, man, down here in ATL, man. You know, hey, it's an awesome day. Worked a little bit today. Now it's time to get this thing going. How y'all feeling?
Gotcha. How's it? Hey, man, we're hanging in there. How's it been working-wise? I mean, working from home, right?
Yeah, man, let me tell you something, man. It's like stir crazy, man. You know, everybody in the house and everybody trying to get things done. It's all good. It's fun, man. Family time. But at the same time, you're like, man, I'm ready to get out of the house a little bit, man. But it's all good, though. Rather be safe than sorry, right?
Yeah, that's true. Stay at home, folks. Stay at home.
Yep.
So we had Maurice on the show today. We're going to go through kind of the recruitment of Tyler. Obviously, a really big pickup for Iowa in the 2019 class. And then kind of just his rise as a running back this year for Iowa. Because, I mean, not often in the Kirk Ferentz era have we seen a freshman take over the starting role at any position. I mean, obviously you got a guy like Tristan Wirfs on the offensive line, but even then that was a first-time thing for Kirk Ferentz. So, Mo, let's go back to grade school or middle school. When was kind of the moment where you were like, dang, like my kid's pretty good at football?
Well, man, I saw it early, man, and him and Taylor, man, but put emphasis on Tyler right now. But I saw it when they was 7 years old, man, and it was always like a separation. But we always played, I'm going to be honest, man, we lived in the suburbs, but we always played in the hood. I always want to have them in a tough, hard environment, right? Because I knew one day I needed them to be better than everybody. And even if they wasn't better than everybody, there's going to be something to separate them to make them even think they was better than that person. So I always kind of kept that edge, man, over them. Do something more than the next person. Even at that young age, when they was six or seven, it was always like a separation factor to where, you know, okay, now they have this. Now they're taking them a step further. We need to go home, throw bricks. Man, I used to throw bricks at them, man, just catching bricks, you know, in the backyard, even at the age of seven. And then if they got the brick, I used to make them do 20 push-ups, right? So for what, you know, of course nobody sees all of that, but started out at that young age and being surrounded by, like, this hard, tough coaches that played the game, played college, played pro, you know, just instilled that system to where, you know, we just want to use those tools to help these young guys, man, at that point in time.
Yeah, so how did they kind of – oh, keep going.
Nah, you good, man. I saw it at an early age, at seven. I saw the gift, but I didn't know how it, you know, transition up to the next level. So, you know, that's when I saw it, to answer your question.
So how did they kind of take that, Coach? I mean, not always you see kids – I mean – I'm sure it's different down in the South when football is really like a big thing a lot than like other parts of the country. But how did they kind of respond to that? kind of tough edge coaching?
Man, they didn't have no choice because that's what they knew, right? So it wasn't like they went to another organization and played. They always and grew up in the same organization with the same cultures. The coaches was fun. We was, I mean, we all was cool, but we meant business, right? So we knew we wanted our team to beat everybody in the league, just like another coach wanted his team to beat, you know, us and better teams in the league. So we had this, like, man, powerful organization. And our theme was the NFL theme with all the different 32 teams, the Dolphins, the Raiders, and, you know, so on with the team names. But then we had, like, a chat, online chat session where we talking trash, like the dads, the coaches all talking trash, trying to make it more, like, you know, good publicity instead of having bad publicity. But then you have some knucklehead coach on there. They know what you're talking about. Never played the football game. So we just thrash him, right? So, yeah, all of this fun, all this trash talking going on. And then by the time the game came, man, we had cookouts. We had music, man. We had, like, fish in the pot frying, and we just going to give it on that day. So I think, man, by being in that type of environment, it really propelled them for, you know, in their years now, like high school and the college. So actually, you know, with that hard upbringing, really, you know, really set the tone for them in their career, latter stages of their life now.
Adult chat rooms. What could go wrong with that about Pop Warner football?
Man, you know me, man. You know I'm gonna talk trash, boss. You know, so I used to give it to them boys, man. Like they were trying to give it to me, but. That's what we do. That's what we do, baby. You know, every day leading up to the game on Saturday, that's what we did.
Mo, when did Tyler's recruitment first kind of start to take off, where you noticed, like, hey, this is going to be like a, you know, he was going to be a national recruit?
Well, let me say this. Before he had to start getting recruited, right, so in high school, I was like, well, let's see what this boy's going to do when transitioning in ninth grade, right, 10th grade. So ninth grade, man, he goes off and rushes like 1,400 yards on JV, and then they had him on varsity, but he didn't get to play. So I saw, like, something could possibly be, but I wasn't sure then. But when the recruitment actually took off, man, it was like in his junior year. Recruitment process took off a little late, but I'm kind of glad that it did, because he – All the schools that offered him, he had around 38 offers. He could have went to every last one of them. They was all committable offers. But once it started, when it started picking up in the beginning stages, I was like, okay, we got something here. I still didn't know. I knew he was talented, but that junior year popped so much, man, and he just took off. I was like, yeah, we're going somewhere. So that's when I knew early in the stages when it started picking. When it started. Then it just started, like, just came out of nowhere, like a rushing in, you know, like a flood rushing in.
Yeah, I mean, as his dad, so, you know, you mentioned the 30-plus offers. How do you differentiate between the coaches that, you know, the real ones and the fake ones, you know, guys coming in and you're buying what they're selling or you're not? How do you differentiate between the two?
Right. So, basically, I told him, make a checklist. I said, for every visit we go to, every school we go to, you're only looking for good character coaches. And he was like, what you mean? He said, I know what the good character coaches mean. He said, do you mean, you know, they feel like they're being honest? Or I said, yeah. I said, look up straight in their eye, shake their hand as hard as you can shake it, tell them yes, sir, no, sir. I said, but for everything that you like about the coach and the program and the school, write 10 check boxes. Give me 5 likes, 5 dislikes. And I said, you check them off as we go on this visit. And I say, for the ones that you dislike and you put those checks there, it may not be that you don't like them. It may not, you not have an understanding. I said, so you take those 5 check boxes that you don't like, take them back to the coaches and confront them with it. I say, and if the coach is, you know, is honest, that would, you know, be more freely open to talk to you about it. I said, those are the type of coaches you want. I said, because everybody going to tell you better, you better than sliced bread. I said, everybody going to tell you that. I said, but you're really not building a sliced bread because that's some weakness that you may have. So that's the kind he differentiates that way, by taking that checklist and just use that same model going down for every school.
Mo, who are the first schools to reach out or really show legitimate interest in Tyler?
His first, man, first interview was like with Virginia real early, before his junior year, man, right, going into the summer of his junior year. Then he had a small school that came in, and funny story, he told me, like, he said, just got offered by, and what was the name of that school? It was a basketball school, but I was like, hold up, they offered this? Then I had to go online. I said, man, that's not no football school. That's a basketball school. So, but it was a D3 school when he first got off. And he's like, I ain't posting that. I ain't posting that. I said, oh, yes, you are. You're posting that. I said, because you don't want to shot down on any school because you never know if you ever need them. So, but then he had, like, I mean, Wake Forest, Carolina was recruiting them. Then you had, like, Temple, Auburn, and so it just start picking up, man. Start picking up from there, and then just start the masses of the floodgates to start coming in, man. And then everybody's just start recruiting them.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
So kind of another follow-up to that, you know, the recruiting process, as you've seen twice now with your two kids, Tyler and Taylor, it kind of takes its toll. I mean, not even like once the offers start coming in, but before the offer, mm-hmm. because you got kids who are worrying about getting that offer and really play kind of tense and like are always thinking about it. What was it kind of like for Tyler? Like, did you see kind of a new kind of, I don't know, sort of attitude with him once he got that first offer? Like, okay, like, I'm feeling more confident. Like, that weight's off my shoulders. Did you see that in him?
No, not at all. Tyler did not like the recruiting process. He did not like going. He didn't go going to the visits, but he was the type to, like, oh, I got this offer. Now I'm the man. One thing I can say, man, I'm not being biased because he's my son, but he was very humble through the process. And it was like he would get an offer, and he was like, hey, Dad, you got the offer? I said, you not excited about it? Nah, it is what it is. It's whatever. He said, I'm just going out there and win the games. I'm enjoying my high school career. I said, okay, there it is. That's a good perspective to keep. And so, man, he never was that type of kid, man, or that player to make himself think that he was bigger than actually what he was. So he actually, I'm very thankful and proud that he kept it that way because he knew he always had something to work for, and he always would say that. So he never did, you know, think he was bigger and better than what he was, man. So I was very appreciative of that.
Well, when Iowa started getting involved, you know, halfway across the country. So were there any weird feelings between you and Felicia about, you know, sending him to Iowa? You know, it's a long way from home.
No, not at all, man, because we exposed our boys, man. We always travel different places. We always send them off, like we send them off to the Dominican Republic for like 10 days. You know, we didn't have no questions about it because he's been exposed, man, to going out, hanging out, you know, overnight and away from the house. So he was already kind of immune to that. So, but we didn't have no worries that he was going far away. Preferably, we want him to stay closer to North Carolina because that's where we're from, Charlotte, North Carolina. So we was looking at more so like Auburn, Tennessee, UNC, Wake Forest, NC State, you know, somewhere around in there. But Kentucky. But then we was like, man, you know what? It's your life. You only get one time to play ball. Do it at the highest level, biggest stage. You go have your fun. So that's how we kind of treated it. And we left it at that, man. And then the rest, you know, rest is history.
So before we get into Iowa and kind of like his career freshman year, take me back to, let's see, was it April of 2018? It was a new rule. I remember it because this was my first like spring game covering, like first time covering recruiting. And I saw that Tyler was taking an official visit to Iowa for that right. Spring practice. What were some of the things he kind of told you, or some of the things you saw where he maybe felt like that was going to be his future home? Because I know he didn't make a decision, or he didn't have the decision at that point, but like, when did he what did he kind of like about it?
Well, I'm going to correct you. He did have a decision that nobody knew about it. He wore that poker face. The first day he stepped on campus, man, on official visit, we did not know until many months later to where he wanted to go, was to Iowa. And how that came about was, so when he got, well, I'm going to go back. When he got there, he enjoyed everything about it. He said it felt like home. He said when he walked out on the field to the 50-yard line, he's like, oh, man, this is where I'm supposed to be. Now, fast forwarding it up, after that visit, which was awesome, we sitting at Wake Forest at Chick-fil-A about to go meet Coach Clawson, head coach. And Taylor goes to say, Tyler, man, bro, you do know most likely where we go to college, that's where we're going to end up living. And Tyler was like, man, I ain't living in no hour. And I was like, hold on. Are you trying to tell us that's where you're going to go? He was like, yeah, that's where I'm going to out. I said, so what are we sitting here waiting for then? You know, why are we sitting here buying chicken biscuits and eating potatoes and french fries? You know?
How bad did you want to slap him?
I want to punch his teeth out of him, man. Because this was the fifth time we'd have been away for us, and we had to make that trip. And I was like, come on, Brody. I said, but, you know. But it's all good, though. So, man, I'm going to be honest with you. After that, I didn't even want to go back to the campus, man. I didn't want to see a coach. I didn't want to talk to a coach. I was ready to come back to Georgia. But we went through it with Fumile because they was recruiting Taylor. So, but that's how it all came together, man. But he knew the first day he stepped on campus during the official visit, that's the school he wanted to go to.
Well, coaching staff, sorry, Sean.
There you go.
Coaching staffs have to sell, you know, kids on the school, but they also have to sell, you know, parents, because that's where you're sending your kid. So ultimately, I mean, what sold you and Felicia on Iowa, really?
Man, I'm going to tell you, it was strictly like family, man. Like, culture was very cool, kind. I mean, me and Felicia, we call BS when we see it, and we don't play. We're football family, man. But we knew great character cultures, and we had got some background from, from other coaches that was very inspirational to us through Tyler's career. And that was Coach Bob Spire. So I'm giving him a shout out. He actually, you know, knew the staff there and gave us a lot of better information on it. Then Coach Ferris, man, been there in the 10 years that he's been there. I mean, come on, man, that speaks volumes, right? So you knew his nose was clean. He never was in the media, never got in trouble, never had this, never had that, right? So we knew if he was there for so long, he was doing something right, right? And then to be in that environment, man, I knew they ran a pro, a spread, and a power eye with two tight end split with a fullback. So I knew they had the big boys up front, so that was going to protect Tyler, right? They was missing a back that had that skill set other than what Akinwale had. So I knew the style that he bring to the table, oh, man, that was a good chance to where he can get in and do some great things. But it all went back to the coaching staff, man, and they made us feel very comfortable that it was going to take care of him, and we didn't have no worries, man. So that's how it all came together and how we felt about the entire coaching staff, and we felt good with it. And ultimately, it was Tyler's decision to go through it and make this thing happen.
So, I mean, Tyler had a pretty cool commitment video, too. Did you have any part in that?
Yeah, we was all in that, man. So, my buddy, y'all know Jamal Lewis, right? Superstar, ex-NFL, yeah. All-Pro, right? So, his brother actually trains Tyler. His name is Jay Lou. And so, he'd been training Tyler Taylor since they've been in sixth grade, since we had relocated to Georgia. And so, you know, I had hit Jay up, and I was like, hey, boss, this is what we want to do. What is what Tyler want to do? I said, let's make it happen. So, man, we trained in South Atlanta in the hood, you know. And I say that, man, because that's where their roots are in, you know, as far as playing at that type of level of ball. Just the tough, you know, the tenacity, man. It's like We're going to run through your head. You don't care who you are. We're going to run through this wall, and we're not going to feel the pain. So, case in point, Daly was like, all right, let's shoot it, man. So we went to different areas down in South Atlanta. We went to a park. We went to a train, you know, a railroad area. Then we went through some wood. So we used different, you know, action shots and did some different combos and did a lot of edits. And then we actually put the video together, man. And so that's how that commitment video came together.
So after he committed, obviously that takes some of the pressure off. But as you know, with college football and stuff, the recruiting never stops. And that includes other schools trying to get in, even though they're committed. Were there a couple other schools? I mean, you don't have to name specific programs, but were there schools kind of being like, hey, Tyler, like, we still want you, man. Like, if you want to, like, be with us, like, we're going to keep showing you interest or whatever.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It still didn't stop for him, man. You know, when he committed, you know, the calls kept coming, offers kept coming. And so, you know, NC State, you know, was wanting him. Michigan, Coach Harbert came down to see one of his friends, DJ Turner, that's actually a DB from Michigan, and him and Tyler are like best friends. And our families are real close to one another, and we only live about 8 minutes apart. So his dad called me, and I was at work, and I said, what's up, boss? He's like, hey, man, Coach Harbert said, if you get up here, we want to see him right now. So went up there, and Harbert tried to steal him, tried to, you know, make him flip it and all that jazz. And then UCLA, Washington State, Michigan State, you know, all those schools are still was on them, man. I mean, they already had offered them and things like that, but they were still calling and wanting them. And, you know, that's kind of how it went, man. And Wake Forest, and Wake Forest told them, you know, I put it out there, though. Wake Forest told them, hey, I don't care where you go, you always have a home here. If you want to transfer, come back, you are God. We'll always take you. So I was like, man, that speaks volumes for it. You already committed to a school. And Tyler told him that he was going up to Iowa on the visit that we was there for, the official visit. And Coach Claus was like, I hope it snows. You only get to make that trip, you know. So they were still coming, man, still harping, still calling, still texting me, calling him. And that's just how about through the process it went, man. And it was fun, but it was irritating for Tyler as well. So a few times I had to jump in and was like, hey, man, look here, coach. I hit him up search time because he got studied for a test. He's doing this. And then the media got behind it and even made it even worse. So I had to back some guys down as well.
I was saying, you throwing shots at us, the media?
Yeah, I didn't want to talk to y'all no more. 247, nah, man. I was like, they trash, man. I don't want to talk to them guys no more, man. You know? Nah, man, y'all was good, man. Y'all was very good throughout the process with T-Good, working with him and covering him, man. I appreciate every effort, though.
For sure, for sure. So kind of go through the senior season now, because, I mean, that was a pretty special year for them, right?
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Oh, yeah, it was a very special season. But the junior year was the more special season, right? But senior season was like, okay, he coming in trying to win another state championship. And, man, worked so hard, man. Put the team on his back, carried the team, man, and still was just working and going through it, trying to achieve that goal. And, you know, we had a few pieces missing, you know, but from the previous team, but they still went, you know, all the way and lost in semifinals to go to the state, man. So it was special, man. It was special to piggyback off of that junior season. That junior season was just like off the roof, man. Blow the roof off the house. We're going to get it. And then the senior season coming in, oh, man, we have a little less of talent, but I'm going to take my team and we're going to we're going to smash these boys. That's what we did. But then we lost in the semifinals, and that's how our season came to a halt.
Mo, how was the transition for Tyler? You know, you're a kid, you grew up in Georgia, and all of a sudden, you know, after 18 years of your life, you're in the middle of Iowa around people you don't really know. How did he handle that?
Man, he handled it well, man. We lived in Omaha, Nebraska for 7 years, man. Even though he was younger, we knew what to look for, but he didn't because he was like 10 months, right, when we first moved there. But I always asked him, I said, are you homesick? He said, nah, Dad, I'm straight. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to give about another 3 weeks. I said, he's going to be homesick. Called him back. Are you good? He said, I'm homesick by a little bit. I said, you want to come home? He said, nah, I'm good. So he got homesick for 2 weeks, you know, and then after that, man, he started getting acclimated, learned the system with, you know, the football, and just was busy with that. And he was good to go, man. And so, but the transition, he said, the school that they attended here in Georgia, in Suwanee, man, it's North Gwinnett High School, very rigorous academic program, very rigorous 7A football program. He said he felt like the workouts was easy, and the school prepared him for the coursework at Iowa. So we was like, oh, man, okay, that speaks volumes to know that you on both sides of the fences now, and that helped prepare you, you know, for the next level to juggle academics as well as football. So he said he felt good, man, and he adjusted well to the collegiate lifestyle as well as off the field. So we're proud of him, man. Continue to do what he does. But it's one thing I would say, man, Tyler won't ever do anything to keep him off the football field. So, you know, I told him to stay on top of your game, man. Don't procrastinate. Stay on top of and do what you're supposed to do. I said, you call for a purpose, and you're supposed to be there and do your job. And so he adjusted well, man.
So how big, I mean, obviously Derek Foster played a huge part in his recruitment, getting him to Iowa, but how big was he kind of, I mean, being that father figure on campus too for him once he got into Iowa City?
Yeah, so Coach Foster, man, that's my buddy right there, man. We talked earlier today. But Coach Foster, man, was an integral part in Tyler, you know, coming to Iowa, you know, by being a, you know, a Southern boy. And we chopping it up. You know, I told him he was shorter than me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm big chest Coach Foster, you know? And so and I'm going to tell him I said that too. But yeah, man, Coach Foster, real low-key, cool dude, man. We share a lot of similarities. And he was like the spoke. He was like a second father figure to Tyler. He spoke in Tyler when, you know, Tyler's not with me, you know. And I told him, I said, man, show your love to him, Coach. I said, tell him how it's going to be, you know. And so that was a strong, integral part that Tyler was able to identify with Coach Foster, man. And it was just all love, you know. So he treated him as not just like a coach, but he treated him as a son as well. And I welcome that because this is going to be pretty much his dad, or home away from home. And so I trusted Coach Foster, and Felicia did as well, man. And we felt very confident, very secure. Coach Foster, he knew how to talk X and O's, you know, so I knew he knew what he was talking about. Because some coaches you get, you're like, man, honey, how in the world is this joker coaching college football? You know, but Coach Foster on point, man. So, you know, I give praise to Coach Ferentz even bringing him on staff, man, because Joker no football. But he was a strong integral point in Tyler's development, man, and continue to, you know, see that out as the years to come with T-Good.
You got year one in the books for him. Do you have a favorite moment from his first year playing football in Iowa City?
Man, I had so many moments, man. Yeah, man, first time he scored, man, at Purdue. We was at home against Purdue, man. I started crying, man. Because I was like, all those feelings, all those emotions from when he started training, man, started playing the game. My mind went back to the minute he touched football and ran a 90-yard touchdown when he was in Little League. That's what I thought about. And so I broke down and started crying because I was like, man, my son is playing on a P5 level ball, right? I knew he was good, but I didn't know how he was going to transition to, you know, P5 level. I didn't know. I knew he had the good. I thought he was better than a lot of running backs. but I still didn't know because it wasn't me playing the game, you know? So, but man, I felt very comfortable, man, confident in him, and he just goes out and work hard and try to give some positive results, man. So that was my moment, man, to where I felt like, you know, oh my God, okay, here we go. I got something here.
So how was it for him? I mean, because he showed a lot of flashes, even in this first Miami-Ohio game, right? He had a couple of big runs that people were like, oh, man, like this kid's going to be something. How confident was he going into the season?
Man, once he started the season or getting into the season?
I mean, whenever.
Like, well, I think his confident, man, the Joker is super confident, man. You can't tell him that he can't do anything. He always going to prove you wrong. He came in, the fourth screen running back, right, if you want to say that, and then worked his way up. Yeah. And I told him before he left Swanee, I said, I don't care who's the running back. I don't care if it's a senior or a junior. We're going to take that spot, dude, because you was called to be on that field. I said, I want every kid to be successful. I'm not knocking that. I said, but there's something different about you, boss. And I said, and what you going to do? You're going to go up there and learn that system, and we're going to take some spots. Simple as that. And so I talk to coaches all the time, man. And I said, hey, man, you know, just like on my job, I can't be average on my job, right? If my director, my VP need me to do something, step it up, guess what I got to do? I got to step it up. And so I used that analogy with Tarlin. I told him, I said, hey, dude, build your confidence up. I said, if you need to ask questions, ask questions. There's not one dumb question. I said, but at the same time, study that playbook. I said, if you study that playbook, if you know that playbook, the game will start slowing down to you once you get in and start seeing the speed of the game. And, man, you know, I'm just grateful and I'm thankful, man, that, you know, God gave him the tools, bro, and just get in there and pick up everything fast and body adjust it. Body got bigger, body get stronger and faster, and he was able to do what he did, man. So I think through all the hard work, all those seeds that was planted, man, I think now is all coming to fruition, and I'm grateful for that.
You know, a lot of kids, they go from being, you know, the guy on their high school team to maybe waiting, you know, 2-3 years in college before they get that shot. You know, for Tyler, it wasn't really that long. Was there any frustration for him, you know, not getting the workload maybe right away?
Oh yeah, he was pissed. Yeah, he was pissed, man, because he felt like, you know, he's confidence wise, man, and he make a play to give him a little bit more confidence, but he was pissed that he thought he should have got more reps, you know. But I told him, I said, hey, look here, man, I said, coaches know what they're doing. I said, I appreciate the fact they're not just winging you in there, throwing you to the wolves. I said, because that one big hit could take you out. I said, I'm appreciative of how Coach Ferentz, you know, Coach Foster, you know, both Coach Ferentz's just winged him into it, got him a little feel, got him a little taste. I said, because as a freshman, dude, you're going to make mistakes, right? Tyler, his pass blocker was garbage in the beginning, you know? I was like, dude, you can't sit back and let a 250-pound linebacker just run straight at you. You sit back there. You got to meet him in the gap. Whether it's A gap, B gap, you meet him. Get low. So I'm getting technique. I'm speaking technical now. But that's how I would tell Tyler, man. I was like, dude, just don't sit back there. So, man, he started improving, man. Coach Foster called me and said, hey, man, he took a loan to the crib today at practice. Hey, man, he need to stop, you know, being timid. He overthinking. And then he'll come back here and he said, man, he picked up the pass protection well. He's doing this, he's doing that. So it was a gradual build, man, and just didn't throw him to the wolves and just let him kill himself. So I'm very appreciative of that, man. That's how he, you know, confidence started building on top of one another, And by the time it was time for him to start, he was ready, man. He was ready. So I'm appreciative of that, bros.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
What do you think the breakout game for him was this year? I mean, probably in the Big Ten or definitely in the conference portion of the schedule.
Oh, yeah. Definitely in the conference, man. But I think he rushed for – he had rushed for 100 yards and had some minor yards. He ended up with like 96 yards, 98 yards. I think it was in the Minnesota game. But I think where he started getting more confidence before in P5 play – I think that Rutgers game, when he it admitted to the C State game, when he took it and was cutting back cross field and the guy shoestringed him and he saw the end zone, I think he saw what he was going to be doing in the games to come. I think that was the one that really triggered it. And then when he got into P5 play, man, he had that game where he had like 98 yards rushing. I think he knew then. He told me, he said, it's a wrap, Dad. I said, what you mean it's a wrap? He said, that's my spot. He said, ain't nobody taking my spot. It's a wrap. So he always would call me, man, and tell me, hey, had a good practice. Hey, coach going to try to use me here. Yeah, you know, coach going to try to use me there. And then it just kept triggering over, man. It was triggering. It was triggering, pulling. And then he was doing well. Then they said that, coaches said, well, we put him in some tough situations, and he did real well. So we're gonna go ahead and put him in this situation, see how he does. Well, he goes out and kills it, right? He start pass protection start looking a whole lot better, right? So they actually Tyler he earned the trust from his coaches for them to put him in a situation. Then he just took off when they felt when he was ready. So that's how all of that came about.
So I mean, now that his freshman season's concluded, what's kind of the main? I mean, I know you've been posting those workout videos that make my head spin because his feet are so dang quick. what are the expectations, or what are kind of the motivation? What are some of the main things he's working on this off season?
Well, I always say it this way, man. I tell him, I say, go into the college program and you do what they do. I said, but you always stick with your regimen, your workout regimen on top of theirs. Keep doing what you did, what got you there. Do what we've been doing throughout the years. Conform to their program, but also conform and keep your same stance, right? So we always work on our feet, man. We work on our footwork, our agility, our power, our explosion, right? We always work on our hands, our route running, right? We always learn other plays. Positions. Have them learn the slot, learn the X, learn the route tree. So we always do all those things. So that way there's not a limitation that we're placing on ourselves to where you need to line up an X or Y. Guess what? We're going to hit them. We're going to kill them. We need to learn coming out, catch the ball out the backfield. We're going to work on these wheels, these dig routes, right? We're going to need to run some post corners, right? Because I tell him all the time, there's not a linebacker or safety that should be able to cover you in space. I say, so we're going to be working on different type of sled pulls. We'll put about 225 on the sled, and we run that thing uphill, right? And we'll put the ladder on diagonal on the bank, and we'll work on our cuts and our ladder drills going on incline, man. So we'll do all these different type of drills, man, so that way when we get in the game, we ready, man. We ready. We popping. It's going to pop when it's supposed to pop. So we always work on these different type of, you know, technique drills, man. And so that's our course, man. We don't change what we do.
double-digit carries in 5 of the last 6 games for him. Pretty apparent that he's going to be the number one guy headed into the fall. What are you guys' expectations? Or I guess what are his expectations for himself?
Well, his expectations, he said, I'm throwing away the freshman season, and I got to get better for this upcoming sophomore season. That's what he always says. He said, I'm not focused on that. My expectations, I said, freshman season is gone. I said, if you do good, people are going to talk about you. If you do bad, they're going to talk even the more. They're going to talk worse about you. I said, so don't worry about, you know, what accolades you didn't receive or T good this, T good that, because I tell them at the end of the day, man, you're sorry. You ain't that good, you know? I said, man, we got to do some things better. I said, that's why you messed up when you planted the wrong way. You slipped. I said, because your feet wasn't right. So you're sucking right now. I said, for what we've been working on, I said, you didn't implement that in the game. So, man, you trash. You know, so I talked to him like that, him and Taylor. You know, keep that edge going, man. But I think for the upcoming season, man, he's super excited. He's super proud for all the hard work he put in. But I told him, throw that out the door. It's a whole nother freshman season. I said, you go kill it, you smash it, and let's go have fun with it. So that's the expectations with him, and that's my expectations, man. I don't even worry about nothing. Just go have fun and enjoy your collegiate lifestyle, man. And that's where I come from.
Well, we really appreciate you coming on with us here. I got one more for you. I know we'll let you go. I don't know if Sean does or not, but there's this push-up challenge been going around. I know Sean owes you some push-ups. So I was curious.
Consecutive, man, he can't push-ups. Do it with 2.5 push-ups, man.
No, you don't think you can get to 5?
Bro, I'll do push-ups right now.
Yeah, but we can't do it on video, though.
That's true. I don't want to post it on Twitter. That'll hurt my brand.
That might be true, yeah. So yeah, more consecutive push-ups. You, Tyler, or Taylor?
Who, me, between them?
You, Tyler, or Taylor? Who can do more consecutive push-ups?
Man, come on, man. Come on. Come on, man. Come on, man. Like Chris Carter said, come on, man. Me. It's going to be me. More goodies.
We're going to get some video proof of this?
He's already got me. Yeah. Those ones look kind of weak on Twitter. I'm dead serious.
No, my push-ups look straight legit, man. 60. I bust you with 60, man. I didn't get a return back from you.
I worked out yesterday, and I'm still sore from it, so.
Yeah, he worked on them jelly biscuits, man. but I think, between Tyler and Taylor, it's definitely going to be them, man. They'll do more than me. I'm going to put it this way. Tyler does this push-up workout. It's called the Ray Lewis push-ups, man. And he do 350 push-ups at one, you know, all in one setting. So, you know, Taylor pretty strong too, but I think Tyler going to get him, man. Tyler going to get him, you know, because the way he be doing them push-ups, man, and I'm like, woo, I can't do that. I keep my little 60, but I think it'll be Tyler do more consecutively.
Mo, last question, then we'll get out of here. So, do you think Iowa's going to try and set up a matchup, Mercer versus Iowa, here in the next couple of years?
Well, Mercer will bust him in the mouth. We'll bust him in the mouth, dog. Bust him in the mouth. All right, you know what? I would love that, man. Just to see Taylor try to come across on the outside and try to lay his brother out, man. And then Tyler coming, you know, coming up the middle and Taylor coming down here and Tyler run him over. So I love that brother competition, man. And that would be my greatest joy, man, to see both the boys on the field at the same time like they have been. So I wish that was the case though, boss.
How you guys gonna kind of handle that next year? I mean, you got get one son playing on Saturday in Georgia and then the other playing in Iowa.
Yeah, so the schedule kind of offsets by 3 games. And what I mean by that is, like, when Tyler has a bye, Taylor plays. When Taylor has a bye, Tyler plays. And then Tyler and them have a game on Friday night, and then Taylor have a game on Saturday. So at least me and Felicia get to go to 3 games together to see both boys, you know, in the same week. When one have a bye, one playing, we go see, you know, one. When the other one have a bye, we get to go see the other game. And then Friday night, right, Tyler plays. We get to see Tyler. And then Saturday morning, we get to go see Taylor. So it actually, you know, for those games, at least we get to have a few games to do that. But then we're just going to split on the other games. I either be an hour, you know, bring my homeboys, you know, and then and Felicia be at Mercer. And then I'll be at Mercer, and then Felicia come to Iowa. So that's how we're going to tackle that strategy.
Gotcha. I mean, the party always comes with Mo. That's one certainty.
Man, Mo Gucci. Hey, we're bringing a party from the 8th, baby, to Iowa City. And I can't wait, man, to start the tailgates back up with all the fans. Man. That's the thing I love about it. Legendary fans, man. Family-oriented. You know, the chemistry and the camaraderie is all there. And that's all I know. I'm a family guy, man. Like to have fun, like to talk trash, you know, and that's what it's all about, you know. And so I'm looking forward to it, man, for, you know, seeing Taylor play his first collegiate game. We open up with Vanderbilt in Nashville, and can't wait to see good, you know, and do his thing as well, man. So very excited for it, guys.
For sure, for sure. Mo, appreciate it. Always you hopping on. We got to do this again sometime. I mean, it'll be a long off season, so we got to have you on.
Yeah, man. Hey, anytime, man. Let's get David Eckhart. I don't know where he is. He's probably eating a bowl of honey roasted Cheerios right now. get him on here, man. Talk a little trash as well. But anytime you guys need me, man, you know, holler at me, let me know, and I'll join forces with you, man. We can have a little good fun.
Sounds good, boss. What? Drop your Twitter in here so we can get some so people can catch up with you and kind of just like seeing what Tyler and Taylor are up to this offseason.
Yeah, most definitely. I'll drop it, man, and keep it hot, and you guys can take it from there, man. But we train every day, you know, no downtime, man. And like tonight, after he finishes his class tonight, 7:30 class, we're gonna get in here and do 500 jump ropes. We're gonna do some dips, right? And we're gonna do some push ups, man. So we're gonna close out the night, man, with that little workout, man.
All right, sounds good, Mo. We'll talk to you later, man. Thanks as always for coming on.
Thanks, yeah, thank you guys for having me, man. With that.
And that was a very popular Maurice Goodson coming on the podcast with Sean Bach and Dylan Byrne. Great job by those two. And yeah, some really good insight from Maurice. I'll get into that in a later podcast. But obviously, Tyler Goodson is going to be a big-time player for the 2020 Hawkeyes, most likely starting running back. Might be a breakout player in the Big Ten. Obviously set the freshman record for rushing yards in Iowa history. So keep an eye on that. As always, we are churning out a lot of content at HawkeyeInsider.com. Since the coronavirus outbreak shut down sports, we have produced over 110 pieces of content. So be sure to take advantage of that. For a little over $6 a month, you can get a VIP membership, exclusive access with myself, Sean Bach, Dylan Byrne, message board, VIP articles, recruiting updates, and so much more. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at David Eicholt, DavidEickholt, and keep up with us at 247 Sports. That's going to do it for this episode of the Swarmcast. We'll talk to you later this week, and thanks for listening.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.